Part 3. Upgrade. It is easy for the weak to be gentle. If you wish to know what a man really is, give him power. Robert G. Ingersoll. V-62. Unknown location. The white light that surrounded Dan McCarthy was warm and gentle, rather than bright and harsh, almost swaddling rather than surrounding him. Although a million questions were swirling in his mind, he felt nothing but calm and anything but anxious. There was nothing to see in any direction other than the two familiar alien beings who stood directly before him, keeping a distance of several feet as they gazed deep into his soul. They were equal in height, around a foot shorter than Dan, and once again, everything but their hands and heads were covered by a seamless, skin-tight fabric. "Who made the triangles?" Dan asked, firing out the question that currently sat above all others. In lieu of any kind of answer, one of the messengers stepped behind the other and produced an item from the small pouch at the back of its full-body garment. Dan took a deep breath and readied his neck for the inevitable insertion of a sharp cable. He knew how this went. Or at least, he thought he did. But instead of producing a cable and attaching it to Dan's neck, the messenger produced two small matching items that looked like fold-away compact mirrors. Wordlessly, the messenger then handed one of the items to its companion and walked behind Dan with the other. The messenger in front of Dan held the small black item out and very clearly mimed what it wanted Dan to do: place all five fingers of his right hand on the item's surface. Dan did so, more than a little surprised that it felt like nothing more alien than the surface of a highly polished table. The next sensation he felt was not quite so typical or so welcome, however, as the second messenger placed the second item against the back of his neck. The resulting sensation was not pain, as Dan knew it, but a truly paralyzing assault on his nervous system. He thought he felt his legs buckle under his weight, but didn't actually move a muscle, only stared into the calm and reassuring primate-like eyes of the messenger who was holding one of the items under his fingertips. All Dan could do was surrender to the feeling and trust that the messengers were doing this for his own good, like everything else they'd ever done. After an unknowable length of time, the intense sensation ceased as quickly as it had begun. Only in its absence was he able to appreciate just how strong it had really been, like a camel's back freed of a heavy load. His whole body was shaking, but his legs remained relatively stable. The messenger who had gathered the items placed them back in its colleague's pocket without any fanfare and quickly retook its side-by-side position. "What the hell was that?" Dan asked, trying a second question despite his first having been completely ignored. At that point, both messengers raised their right hands in tandem. Each touched a long thumb against one of the broad, finger-like divisions that made up the rest of their hands, with the other finger pointed directly at Dan. Just talk to me, Dan pleaded. Put a cable in my neck, I don't care, just talk to me, please. Still holding their right hands out in this manner, both messengers then used their left hands to point back and forth between themselves and Dan. Eventually, he got it. "You want me to do that?" he said, lifting his right hand and touching his thumb to his middle finger.
"Exactly," came the reply. "Now, we can talk."
"Did you just put something inside me?" Dan asked, instinctively speaking out loud despite knowing that he almost certainly didn't have to. "How can I hear you without a connection? And how can you hear me?"
"Our interspecies communication abilities have increased greatly since our last meeting. Your brainwaves have been studied, your thought patterns have been modeled, and we are able to communicate with you as we can with each other."
Dan was stunned, not just by the content of this reply, but by how much more fluently and eloquently he heard it in his mind than had been the case on previous occasions. His conversation with the messengers on contact day had been tremendously more detailed than that which had been possible in Lolo National Forest the first time around, but this was on another level. They were fast learners. "That explains the clarity, but how does it work with no cable?" he pushed, still holding his middle finger to his thumb and pointing at the messengers with his index finger. Clearly, this was important. "What were those things on my neck and under my fingers? And what did you do to me? Turn my body into a transceiver?"
We have enabled you to interpret the frequency of our communications and to return your own thoughts. That is all.
Return my own thoughts? So you can read my thoughts now, but you couldn't before? And you can't read anyone else's?
Only your brainwaves have been studied. Only your thought patterns have been modeled. This is untested on other humans.
Even with the huge jump in clarity, the messengers still had an odd syntax to their speech and a flair for repetition, Dan thought.
Interspecies communication is not easy.
Dan opened his hand, breaking the connection between his thumb and finger and no longer pointing at the messengers. Can you hear me now? He asked, curious rather than challenging, having momentarily forgotten they could hear his thoughts as well as his speech, and thus having been caught off guard by their reply to his silent thought about their syntax. No reply came. Dan touched his middle finger to his thumb once more and pointed at the messengers with his index finger.
We heard, but you could not hear our reply. Not until you physically redeclared your intention to communicate. Your mental dexterity will improve in time, but for now our abilities are not equal.
How come it's not equal?
Our minds are well practiced in telepathic communications. We can filter out noise, and we can typically direct our thoughts without difficulty. Without the physical filter of an on switch, and without a directional pointer, your mind would be overwhelmed.
Telepathic communications, Dan said. Considering that word, distinct from the phenomenon itself, gave him real pause. We're communicating telepathically. This is telepathy.
Exactly.
Dan shook his head in near disbelief until the pressing thought of the hour returned like a boomerang smacking him in the face. So what's the deal with these damn triangles?
There is a problem on New Kerguelen.
New Kerguelen?
Isn't this the shorthand name by which you know and consider our home world? On New Kerguelen, there is a problem with our elders. We are trying to deal with this problem.
The elders who tell you what you can and can't do? The ones who set the minimal necessary intervention rule and eventually let you stop the comet?
Precisely.
So what's the problem?
Although you think of us as messengers, among our kind we are designated interpreters. Our core task on New Kerguelen is interpreting the will of our elders, and since initial contact, our core external task has been interpreting the intentions of your kind and the level of threat those intentions may pose. But lately, the clarity of our elders' decisions has led to disagreement among our fellow interpreters and disagreements among our wider population. Erraticism and indecision have become increasingly common in the words of our elders, and discontent has followed.
Tell me about the triangles, Dan said. Who put them there, you, the ELF, or the Geosovs?
As interpreters, we are unable to engage in this conversation.
What?
We made an independent decision to visit on this occasion. We did this in order to protect the possibility of further contact if visitation becomes difficult due to our ongoing complications in interpreting the will of our elders. We cannot make an independent decision to engage in that conversation.
So, if the elders aren't being clear about anything, you obviously didn't get permission to place these triangles, right? So can you at least tell me who did, since you're already here? Was it the ELF or the Geosovs? After all, you warned me about the first triangle in the vision, with the marking you showed me. Surely you can go a tiny bit further and fill me in on what the hell is actually going on.
We made an independent decision to ensure the possibility of further contact. But at this stage, we as interpreters cannot make an independent decision to engage in this conversation. Without permission from the elders, we as interpreters cannot interfere in such a way.
How does that even make sense? How is it more of an intervention to tell me who's behind the triangles than it is to come into my house and give me the ability to communicate with you telepathically?
This action was not taken lightly. And only to ensure the possibility of future contact should our complications in interpreting the word of our elders continue, particularly if a disagreement over our interpretation prevents visitation in an emergency situation.
So what about when you warned me about Slater being taken hostage? Did the elders give permission for that?
That action was taken to prevent an imminent event which would have immediately destabilized your planet in a manner which would have unacceptably increased the likelihood of atomic detonations. Such interventions are irrevocably pre-approved.
These stupid triangles could start a war just the same as Slater being killed could have, Dan replied. Please, I'm begging you. Just tell me who's responsible.
As interpreters, we are not authorized to act in such instances. You were warned of a specific one-time event which could be stopped very easily. In such cases, when preset conditions of specificity and urgency are met, we are pre-approved to prevent catastrophes which have no immediate side effect. We cannot engage in a conversation on the topic you raise.
But you didn't put them here? We're clear on that?
As interpreters, we are bound by the will of our elders and are unable to intervene in any publicly visible way without explicit permission, pre-approved or ongoing.
Explicit permission, which you've not been able to get recently because of the problems you've had interpreting your elders? Dan said, drilling down to this point again. So, reading between the lines, you're telling me, without telling me, you didn't do it. The messengers' faces, always expressionless, continued to give nothing away. So can I talk to you at any time from now on, and you can talk to me? Dan asked.
We can talk to you. As interpreters, we pay close attention. If you want to reach us, we will know. Whether we can reply is situationally dependent, and whether we can act in accordance with any requests or suggestions depends on how we fare in improving the clarity of our elders' decisions.
And tonight, am I going to have to deal with agents who know you just reached out to me? Because I felt the pain like hell before you showed up.
No. A force field was in place to prevent any communication from the device in your neck. In the future, no other human will know you have been contacted until you make it known to them.
So am I just going to suddenly hear thoughts in my head whenever you decide to talk to me again?
You will hear a call. We will never force thoughts into your mind. An alert will signal our intention to communicate. If you focus your mind and physically signal willingness with a digital connection, contact can commence.
Digital as in fingers? Those kind of digits? So if I hear from you with some small alert, I need to focus my mind and touch my finger to my thumb? Dan sought to clarify. It sounded utterly insane, but only because it was.
Precisely. Until you grow more accustomed to the process, a digital connection is required, but your progress will be quick.
Okay. I can tell you want to leave, but can you just quickly give me a one-word answer about these triangles? They're destabilizing the world in a way you don't seem to understand, and they're empowering people who aren't going to use that power well.
Farewell, Dan McCarthy. Stay true to your convictions. We have gifted you this communicational ability because you chose to help your fellow man in a manner costly to yourself by returning to the public arena. When you can help, you do what you can, as we ourselves strive to do.
Dan was surprised by the nature of these closing comments, but before he could even think about replying, the cocoon of whiteness was gone and he was back in his bedroom. He found himself on the inside of the closed door with Emma still sleeping soundly. Am I tripping? He wondered, sure that what he thought had just happened couldn't really have just happened. What the hell was really in that pill Tara gave me? But when Dan turned on the light and looked at the fingers of his right hand, he saw large, pinprick-like marks. Just like the initial marks on Dan and Emma's necks had convinced Clark that they hadn't imagined their physical connection with the messengers at Lolo, these markings settled it in Dan's mind. Emma, he called, shaking her legs to hasten the wake up. Wake up! You're never gonna believe what just happened!